privilege for me to share God's word with you this morning. And I appreciate God for this wonderful privilege. It's not something that comes naturally to me, but the Bible says no man takes this honor upon himself, but him that is called of God. So I appreciate God for this wonderful opportunity. And I want to thank Pastor Joe. You know, I'm privileged. He's my husband, but he's also my pastor. So I see him as a husband, and I also see him as a pastor. And I appreciate him for giving me this opportunity. I pray that God's grace will continue to increase on your life, in Jesus' name. I want us to look at that Proverbs again this morning. We've read a lot of Proverbs 31 today. It wasn't all, you know, planned together, but I believe the Spirit of God is one. And he just wants us to pay a bit more attention to this popular chapter of the Bible. I'm just going to read only verse 28. And verse 28 says, "Our children, rise up and call her blessed." If you have your Bible, you can open there. I want you to see it. "Our children, rise up and call her blessed." Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to learn at your feet again this morning. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, Father, because the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. There's nothing like your word. And we call upon you this morning that you come and speak to us. Speak to our hearts, O God, this morning. Let the speaker and the hearer be blessed this morning. Let your word come to correct, to transform, to encourage, to lift us up this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray, O God, that you prepare our hearts to receive your people, that no man will see me up here this morning, but they will see you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray we will not only be the hearer of this word, but a doer of the word, because only the doer of the word receives the blessing. We receive the grace to be a doer this morning. And we bless you, O God, for our mothers. Thank you for the gift of mothers this morning. As we celebrate them, we just worship your name. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says, "Our children, rise up and call her blessed." That means our children rise up and bless her. Okay, and I just want us to look at that word, blessed, this morning. I looked at the dictionary meaning of the word blessed. And it means it's to be divinely favored. It means to be fortunate, to be envied, to be blissfully happy. You know, and I looked in the Bible as well. There are several words that are translated as blessing or to bless. There are two Hebrew words. I'm not a Hebrew or Greek scholar, you know, so I just checked this out in the course of this message. The first one is Barak, and the second one is Isha. Barak means to praise, to congratulate, to salute. And this was used, for an example of where this was used was when God called Abram, it was Abram at the time, to go to the promised land in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. He promised to bless him and make his name great, and that through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's a kind of blessing. And the Isha is translated as happiness. Happiness is used as an example in Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." So that's the kind of blessing we are talking about this morning. And in the New Testament, there's a Greek word that was used that is translated as blessing as well. It's called makarios, which is also, it also means happiness. And the example can be found in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes that describes the happy state of those who find their purpose and fulfillment in God. So to be blessed this morning means, you know, to be exceptional in what you do. It means to be fortunate, to be envied. It means. You know, it not only mean worldly riches alone. It doesn't mean that, you know, you are like a millionaire or something, but you are like contented, you are happy, you are at a state that you can say, oh, you know, you can feel it that you are blessed. Hallelujah. So, but I want us to note that in the Bible, it's not only God that pronounces blessing. He pronounces blessing in so many places in the scriptures, and I believe he's still pronouncing blessing on us today. But if we look at Genesis chapter 24, I'm not going to have time to read all the scriptures this morning, but if you are writing down, you can write those scriptures down. The Bible says we should be like the Berean Christians. They go back and check if those things are so. So Genesis chapter 24, verse 60, you know, Rebekah was blessed by her family when she was being taken as a wife to Isaac. And the Bible says her family blessed her. Isaac pronounced blessing on Jacob. Jacob was one of Isaac's sons. We all know the story. And when Isaac was about to die, he pronounced blessing on him on Genesis 27. And in our text this morning, the Bible says our children rise up and blessed her. So it's amazing that even children can bless. Children can bless. And more often than not, real blessing, you know, is provoked by something, you know. Something provokes you to bless somebody. Maybe somebody has done something for you. Somebody has given you something. You know, your heart just goes out to the person and you say, oh, God bless you, you know. Something provokes blessing. And as we've seen in that video this morning, you know, mothers are, I don't know what to call them. We are just something else, you know. God has just gifted us to be able to do so many things together, you know. Like we've seen, we are the cook, we are the chef chef in the house, we are the teacher, we are the nurse, we are the dietitian, we are the driver, the trainer, the decorator, we are the everything. Everything, you know, can you imagine? And as a, you know, that word dietitian, you know, makes me laugh when I was preparing for this message. You know, my little girl, Tito, you know, she doesn't eat. Even from when she was born, you know, we've had to be forcing her and, you know, I've had to read books on feeding kids. I've had to listen to, you know, I've had to go to doctors and all that, you know, because I feel it's my duty to do it, you know. She can't just be there and not eat. You know, we go all out, you know, we wake up early in the morning, we prepare their food, we get them to school, we pick them up, even when they are old, you know, our work still continues. Our work is like forever. So if you don't know, you're planning to have a child, it's a forever job that you're signing up for. But I want to tell you, you know, you're going to get the greatest satisfaction at the end of the day. So, with a list of, you know, a million things to do every day, you know, I just want to, the question is that the reason why our children really, is that enough to provoke blessing from our children? Is it enough? Is it enough to provoke blessing from God? You know, I just want us to look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, because it's good to look at the beginning of everything. And then we tie it together to where we are now. Genesis chapter 27, it says, so God created man. Like I said, the Spirit of God is one. Rhea mentioned this again this morning as well, you know. This is the way, when God wants us to get something, you know, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. I believe there's something God wants us to get this morning. Genesis chapter 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. 28, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. I believe that is where God instituted, you know, the ministry of parenthood. You know, it's not only mothers in this place talking about, but I'm focusing on the motherhood aspect this morning. God instituted this ministry for us. So, if you don't know it now. Our calling as mothering is a calling, is a ministry that we need to take seriously. It's much more than taking them to football games. It's much more than cooking for them. It's much more than being there when they fall. It's much more than teaching them to walk. It's much more than, you know, I'm feeling proud of myself recently, these few weeks. I've taught Tito, you know, to know the colors. She's only 2 years old. And I couldn't believe it, you know. She just started pointing to colors, and I just took the opportunity and say, you know, and just added the other colors. And now she knows all the colors, you know. I'm like, really? So, with all these wonderful things that we do, you know, is this all we have to do as mothers? You know, we just do this day and day and day in house, and we, you know, and we just, until the children leave the house, you know. I believe God is requiring much more from us this morning. There are some works that ties every other physical works together. Those works are very important. They are very important. Our children need us. They have assembly. We have to be there. God wants us to be there, you know. They have special programs. They have dancing. They have. God wants us to take them there. But the Bible says in Matthew 23, was talking to religious leaders and the Pharisees. He was calling them hypocrites. He told them that they are tithing even the tiniest of their incomes, but they left the most important things of the law. They left it undone. You know, things like they left the things that are more important than just the tithing, you know, and the wearing the long robes and praying in the marketplace so that everyone will see them. You know, the important things of love, loving God, building character, they left all that, you know. So I want to just talk about some things that hold all these other physical works together. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, somebody else can actually do those works. For example, Kate, what is the name of the new princess that just got, Charlotte. Is it Charlotte? Okay, all right. I'm sure the mother will not have to do so much, right? Because they have all the servants at their beck and call. So the servants can take them to wherever they want to take to. The mother doesn't even have to cook, okay? The mother doesn't have to do any of those physical works we're talking about this morning, okay? So God forbid other people can do all these things. God forbid we are not there. Other people can do these things. They can. Those things are important. We are supposed to be there, but we don't have to be there. Okay? But there are some things we have to do. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I believe when we look at God's word, you know, it gives us like a roadmap to how to do everything. The word of God has the manual for everything. Children don't come with manuals, but I believe we have this manual directly from God. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to talk about, the trademark of a blessed mother this morning. What are the trademark of a blessed mother? That is much more than physical works, much more than feeding them, than clothing them, than listening to them. There is much more. And the number one thing I want to talk about this morning is consecration. Consecration. The single most important decision a mother can make is to develop her own life with God. Consecration means to devote our lives to God, to take our spiritual relationship with God seriously. We are the number one teacher that our children see at home, right? What if we want to give our children something? And we don't have it. Can we? We can. So you cannot give what you don't have. And that's why I believe our personal, spiritual, and even physical and health development should be our number one thing as mothers. Okay? Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor that had a godly mother." This is the most single gift that you can give to your children. Knowing God, loving God, serving God. Okay, and that's what I mean by consecration this morning. The scripture reveals God's agenda for making a spiritual impact on our children. And like I said, it is, we must begin with ourselves. We must begin with ourselves. I want you to tell someone sitting next to you that you need to begin with yourself. And I think this applies to our fathers here this morning as well. We need to begin with ourselves. We need to begin with ourselves. There's, you know, like I said, there's so many things that is, you know, clamoring for our time and attention every day. By the time I wake up in the morning and I put my feet on the floor, you know, my head is spinning already because I begin to think of all the things I need to do that day, you know. But One thing, you know, that I always try to do, you know, even if I have something to do at 7 o'clock in the morning, even if it's 5 minutes, you know, that first 5 minutes in the morning, you know, let's give it to God. Let's give it to God. It's going to set the pace for your whole day. I'm telling you, it's something I've done. It's going to set the pace for your whole day. And you find things easier. You find things easier to do. So I want to encourage us, if you are doing it, you know, keep doing it. If you are not, develop that habit. You know, I read it somewhere that something that we do, if we can do something, you know, continuously for like 28 days, some people say 30 days, that it becomes an habit. So let's just spend time. Let's spend time to develop our spirit man. And it is what is inside of us that shows on the outside. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm talking about spending time in prayer. I'm not talking about seeking God or asking him for things now. Just loving him, just worshiping God. It's good to ask things from God, right? It's good. Ask him for help for the day. But just being there. It doesn't matter what you do in that 5 minutes. Just acknowledging that, you know, God is in charge of your life. It's enough. There's a way God speaks to us, you know. There's a peace that you have inside of you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about studying God's word. I'm not talking about just reading the words this morning. I'm talking about actually studying the word. It doesn't have to be in the morning. It can be at night. It can be in the afternoon. It can be in your place of work. It can be at your lunch time. You can find somewhere to sit, you know, and it's so easy these days. You know, we have the Bible on our iPads, iPods, our phone. The Bible is everywhere. Praise God. So we don't have any excuse. If you have a toilet break, take your phone with you and read a verse and meditate on it throughout the day. Okay? And, you know, just it builds you up. It builds you up. When opportunity comes, you know, your kids come to you and say, oh, I had a fight in school today. Somebody did something to me. There has to be something in you. Don't just tell them, you know, and say, oh, don't worry, it's going to be fine, and just leave it like that, you know. Tell them about forgiveness, you know. But you cannot tell them if you don't know what the Bible says about forgiveness yourself. Okay, so I want us to study the word, not really, you know, with the purpose of being able to teach it to our children now, but once it's inside of you, there's a way it's going to flow out. There's no way you can keep God's word to yourself, especially if that light of the word shines in your heart. You want other people to test it. You want other people to know it, especially our children. So I want to encourage you this morning to spend time reading God's word. Spend time reading God's word. How do we do this? You know, there's so many self-help books about reading. I'm reading one at the moment by Rick Warren. It's called Bible Study Methods, you know. So there's so many materials available. Even just on Safari, if you study how to study the Bible, you'll be amazed how many materials will come up, you know. You can study topically. You can read the chapter a day. There's so many things you can do, you know, that can help you to know God's word for yourself. Okay, so this morning I want to encourage us to start with ourselves. God has deposited talents, gifts. I don't believe anyone don't have any talent. God has blessed each and every woman, each and every man. Let's use our talent to serve God. Let's use our talent. The more we serve, the more we know to serve. Hallelujah. The more we use it, the more God grows this gift in us. If we leave it dormant, it's just going to sit there. It's just going to sit there. Let's serve God. Let's obey God. Let's obey God. Sometimes God prompts our heart and says, no, what you are doing is wrong. You know, you need to do this. Let's learn obedience. You know, just us alone and God. No one is watching. Forget about anyone. Forget about your children at this stage of consecration. Okay? Just build yourself up. If you need to change, change is a lifetime process. It's not going to be overnight. If we need to change, let's do it one step at a time. Let God lead us all the way. Hallelujah. So, there have been times in my life, you know, when God would tell me that, oh, no, what you did is wrong. You need to apologize. You need to do this, you know. You know, there's this thing in us that wants to argue defensively and say, ah, no, but, you know, that's not what I meant to do, you know. But you did it, you know. And when God is is speaking to our heart, it's because he wants to change us. He wants to transform us. Let's listen to God's voice. Let's learn to listen to the voice of God. And let's try and build good habits, like I said. The Bible says, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In Romans 12, chapter 21. Let's practice righteousness. Let's live holy. We will all stand before God to give accounts of who? Of ourselves. We are not going to give accounts, you know, first of our children. We are going to give over account of our lives first. So I want to encourage you this morning to consecrate yourself to God. Consecrate yourself to God. And I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. I must chip this in quickly, that the greatest gift you can also give to your children is a healthy you. And that's what I'm working on at the moment as well. You know, let's take exercise seriously. Let's take the food we eat. Let's take it seriously. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself this morning. You know, we don't want our children to come and visit us in the hospital. You know, and it starts with ourselves. It's not only the devil that attacks us with sickness. Some sicknesses we cast it on ourselves. We don't take enough rest. You know, take time off every week. I'm giving you the permission to do that this morning. Take time out. Leave the housework undone. I'm sure your husbands won't mind. You know, let's just take time out, even if it's just 30 minutes in a day, to rest and just have a cup of coffee, relax, read a book, do whatever you feel like doing for a change. It's not all about the kids. Without you, life will be difficult for them. So we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our health. And like I said, to round that thing up, we look at Jochebed. Jochebed is the mother of Moses in the Bible. We don't have time to open there this morning, but when you get home, you can read a beautiful story of motherhood, the story of Jochebed in Exodus chapter 2. You know, this woman, you know, saw the Pharaoh give a command that they should kill all the sons, all the male children, you know. But this mother, you know, she defied, you know, that command because she knows who she's serving. Hallelujah. The Bible says she's an Israelite. She's one of the God's chosen people. And not only that, a member of the tribe of Levi. They are the ones that lead the people in worship. So you can see, it's evident that she and her husband were very dedicated to God. They were very dedicated. And this shows in their willingness to defy the order of Pharaoh. That instead of obeying man, they will obey God. There's a stage you get to, you know, in your spiritual development that you can be able to do that. Nobody can just wake up and say, no, I'm not going to follow what the world system is saying. You know, there's something in you, you know, that rise up that says no, okay? All right, the story of Hannah is another beautiful one. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, that Hannah went with her husband and the other wife. They went year after year to the house of God to worship. So I know she was looking for a child, right? But I believe they've been doing that. It's not just because she was looking for a child. That's their custom. That's what they do. They go to church. It's like what we do now. They go to church every Sunday. They don't sit at home when they're supposed to be in church. Hallelujah. Mary, what is the response of Mary when the angel appeared to her and pronounced that she was going to be a mother? In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says, what did he say to Mary? Blessed are you among all women. What did Mary say? Be it unto me according to your word. Can anybody who's not spiritual just say that? Please. You say, okay, who are you to start with? Okay, all right. It shows our dedication to God. It shows our spiritual development. Hallelujah. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, very beautiful verse. He says, I'm reminded, Paul was writing to Timothy. He says, I'm reminded of you. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Louis, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. I think every woman should write this down, okay? There was a faith that Paul recognized, you know, in the life of Timothy, which could be traced back to his grandmother. It could be traced back to his mother, Eunice, Okay? So what are we talking about this morning? Building ourselves up, consecrating ourselves to God. Okay? Let's take time. Time will not permit us to talk about women in history, you know, who have been mothers to great men and women of God. You know, these women are women that travail in prayer. They are women that build themselves up. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage us this morning to take our spiritual life seriously. It is like the foundation of everything. It's the bedrock. Without it, I don't know how all else is going to form up. Hallelujah. So number two, the trademark of a blessed mother is not only consecration, but also communication. Communication. I read about a nationwide survey that was made years ago by the University of Michigan. It was a worldwide survey. And they were asking children what they would like to be when they grow up. The University of Michigan in the U.S. And can you believe it? 80% of the 11 to 18-year-old girls surveyed desire to be just like their mother. 80%. 80%. So I believe it doesn't matter whether you have sons or daughters this morning, you know. This children wants to be like you. They want to be like you. Some of these children, the only example of a godly mother that they will ever see is you. Is you. And we spend the most time with our children anyway. They see what we do, not only what we say. Okay? So talking about communication this morning, I'm talking about teaching our children. Teaching by speaking to them and teaching by our actions about what we do. Hallelujah. I want us to open to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. It's another beautiful, beautiful scripture that every mother should hold on to, and every father too as well. From verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." That is talking about consecration. The word must first be in our hearts. The word must first be in our hearts, okay? In our hearts. And then verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." One of my children, there was a time, you know, she was getting so impatient, you know, with everything. And there was a day I went to Kurong. I just went to buy some other thing. And I saw this beautiful Fruit of the Spirit bracelet, you know. And I searched around and said, oh, this is what she needs, patience. So we put it in her, and she will wear it every day. So when you see it, you remember you need to be patient. Somebody makes you angry, look at your bracelet. I'm just doing what the word said. Bind them where? Yeah? As a sign on your hand. Bind them as a sign on your hand. It makes them to remember. So I want to challenge us this morning, you know. Let's deposit something in our children's heart, not their head, okay? We had a meeting with a children's teacher, you know, some months back. And there was this wonderful video that we didn't get to see the end of it, but eventually we sent it out. You know, there was a pastor in the U.S., a children pastor who did a teaching on, you know, they are not just kids. These children, you see them playing, they look like they are not listening to you, but they are actually listening, okay? He talked about cognitive development and moral development, that there's a window of opportunity that closes after some certain age in the lives of our children. So moral development is talking about what you deposit in their hearts, their values that they will hold for the rest of their lives. Cognitive is like the head knowledge, what they learn in school, you know. And it says they can learn. Cognitive development goes like, you know, from age 2 throughout their life. You know, the graph keeps going up. Whereas moral development, values that we instill in their hearts, is from 2. By the time they get to age 12, the window begins to close. The graph goes all the way up till 12 and start going down. So there's a window of opportunity. You know, teach them while they are here with you. It doesn't matter how old they are. if they are still in your house, make use of teachable moments. That's what the Bible is saying this morning. When you walk with them, when you sit with them, you know, we want to eat, pray with them. They are listening to how you pray, no matter how small they are. They are going to bed at night. Don't let them go to sleep without praying with them. You know, when we do our morning prayer every day in our house, you know, and the children now, they are the one that comes to wake us up that we need to pray. You know, they've gotten so used to it. And that is how I grew up in my house as well, you know. My parents, you know, we have, if you don't do anything that day, we pray. We pray sometimes, and then at night, in fact, in my house, we pray in the morning and at night. Sometimes we are like, amen, amen. We are like asleep. But I can never forget it, you know. I'm close to 40 now, and I still have, you know, the picture in my head, you know. What if you deposit this in their head, they will never forget it. It stays with them for the rest of their lives. Some parents have children that have, you know, that are doing their own thing, they're a bit wayward. The seed is already there. Children are left to make their own choices, right? You can do what you can. You do your part. They have their own life. They will give account of themselves to God. But you have sown that seed. And I believe when that seed is sown, it never goes. It never leaves them. Hallelujah. We need to move on this morning. So teach your child to value what God values. To know who God is. Lead them to salvation. Don't wait until they come to church. Talk to them about what it means to be saved. Hallelujah. Let them teach them about what God values. God values character. The Bible says God does not look at outward appearance. In 1 Samuel, He looks at the heart. Teach them to value relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with other people. Teach them to love God. Teach them God's word. Teach them God's greatness. Teach them to trust God. They come to ask you for things. Tell them, even if you have the money, that you pray about it. Especially if they need, if it's something big. Christmas gifts. They want certain things for Christmas. They have a Christmas gift. Guys, we need to pray. God is the one that provides. I go to work, yes. I make money, yes. But God is the one that does it. Hallelujah. Teach them to obey God. Teach them to serve God. And like I said, do it. Let them see you do it. Don't tell them something and do something else. You know, it's not going to sink in. They're not going to get it. You know, I remember a story that I read as well. You know, there was a child that was very sick, and eventually they prayed, a Christian mother. They prayed and everything, but the child was getting worse. And the doctor called this woman and said, sorry, I think we've discovered that what your child has is a terminal illness. He doesn't have long to live, so you need to be preparing. So the mother cried, prayed, and, you know, resigned to faith, to God, and went to break the news to the son in his bed. And he told him, this is what the doctor said. And he said, okay, I hope you're not afraid. You know, you're born again. You are going to a better place. You are going to meet Jesus. Are you scared to meet Jesus? You know what the boy said? He says, not if he's like you. Not if Jesus is like you. I'm not afraid. Because he has seen that mother. He has seen Jesus in that mother. Okay, let's do what we are teaching them. Hallelujah. So the trademark of a blessed mother is not only consecration, not only communication, but also courage. Courage. I want to challenge you this morning to have courage to challenge the world system. We live in a sinful world. Everything is normal now. Everything is normal, which is not supposed to be, you know. I've not been around for so long, but the few years I've been here, there are some things I'm seeing now that I'm like, really? You know, and I'm sure some of you will agree with me. But to our children, they don't know the right thing, okay? So they feel it's normal, okay? We have to stand. We need to stand our ground and tell them this is not normal. Take a stand for your children. Imagine if Jochebed has not refused to take a stand against that law that went out to kill all the son, she will have lost her son. And that will have been the end of that destiny. Okay? Because we are not only raising a son or a daughter, we are raising a generation. Because procreation continues. Okay? So I want to challenge us this morning to challenge the world system. You know, be different. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Let's be separate. Let's have courage to do things the Bible way. You know, some people might call us weird, but We know we are not, right? We are not. We are only doing what God is saying. Hallelujah. I need to move forward this morning. The daughters of Zelophehad in Numbers 27. You know, their dad died. In those days, women don't have any inheritance. And their dad died without a son. And they went to the elders of Israel. They said, no, we are challenging this system. This system is not right. Our father did not have a son. Surely his inheritance go to another tribe? You know, they said, no, we want our inheritance. Okay? God does not discriminate. He says there is neither male or female. We are not settling for less than God's best for our lives. And they took their inheritance. Hallelujah. So let's challenge sin in the lives of our children. Let's challenge sickness. Let's challenge whatever the devil brings into their lives. Because the Bible says he has come to give them life in abundance. Hallelujah. So have courage. Have courage to parent with faith in God and not fear. Your children, they go on excursions, you are like, you can't even do anything. You know, I met a mother like that in my kids' school. My children, one of my kids, they went to camp. And she was like, oh, what? She drove, there was a bus that took them from school, and she drove behind the bus for some kilometers. Like, what? You know, she was fearful. What is going to happen? And to make matters worse, the day before, I think some children came from India in a bus for an excursion, and they had an accident, you know. She said, oh, please, have faith. They're away from us a lot of time, you know. Forget about them. Pray. Commit them to God and let them be. God is in control. Let's parent with faith and not with fear. Hallelujah. Let's have confidence in God, you know. And sometimes we worry for nothing. The Bible says, can you add anything to your life by worrying? You know, and when we fear some things, in Job 3:25, Job says, what I feared most has happened to me. That was when his children died. He lost the house, he lost everything. That was what he feared most, and eventually happened. Sometimes the Bible is telling us, when we fear something, it happens. Let's parent in faith. Let's have courage. The Bible says, fear not. When the angel came to Mary, one of the things he told Mary is what? Fear not. Fear not. I know you are not married. I know there's going to be shame and reproach associated with this pregnancy, but fear not, because this is from God. This is from God. Hallelujah. Our children are a gift from God. He's the one who is going to take care of them. He's the one who is going to watch over them. Even when they don't know him, he's guiding their lives. Hallelujah. So, consecration, communication, and courage. Be encouraged this morning. God is in control. And I want to tell you, I have good news this morning. There is a compensation. Hallelujah. There is a compensation. We are not going to do all this in vain. You know, the world doesn't appreciate all these things we are talking about because it's not easy to do. It's not easy. It's not easy to wake up early in the morning to pray. It's not easy to sit your children down, you know, and teach them much more than all the myriads of homework you have to help them with. You know, it's not easy. That's why it's not popular. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, there's a compensation. The Bible says about Jesus, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And what happened to him? He was set on the throne, you know, to reign with God forever. Hallelujah. That is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, you know. Let's do our part and leave the rest to God. There's a compensation. Number one compensation, peace of mind. You will have peace of mind. Peace of mind. The Bible says, train up a child in Proverbs. It's one of our foundation scriptures in the New City Kids. Train up a child in the way he will go. When he grows up, he will not depart from it. Let's hold on to that scripture. You know, it gives you that peace of mind that they will not depart. Power. You have peace that you've empowered them to live a godly life. Perpetuity. The baton is passed to the next generation. Because you've passed it, it's going to pass on. You know, because you've deposited it into their hearts. Hallelujah. And at the end of the day, mothers, your children will bless you. What is a better compensation than that? That your children will come and say, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If not because of your faith. When I was going through this, I'm going through that, I kept remembering your word. Fear not. I keep remembering your word. Hold on to God. I keep remembering your word. Obey. When I call my mom now, there are some things I say to her because I know what she's deposited into my life. I tell her that, no, I now see what you're talking about years ago. I now see. Hallelujah. And my mother as well, my parents, she's got 9 kids that she looks after, right? I am one of the ones that she doesn't worry about, you know? When they are talking about anything, she says, oh, Bookie is fine. She doesn't worry about me. Hallelujah. You know? So you have peace. You have peace. Hallelujah. Even your husband, we praise you. We read that in Proverbs 31 this morning. God, we say, good and faithful servant, because you have fulfilled that ministry of motherhood. You will stand before God and he will say, oh, you're good and faithful servant, because that's our number one ministry, to be fruitful. Hallelujah. And what holds everything together this morning as I round up is prayer. Prayer is a lifetime assignment of mothers. People, is a lifetime assignment. And last week, Pastor Joe talked about push, pray until something happens. Let's not give up. Let's not give up. We have children who don't know the Lord. Let's not give up. I want to encourage you this morning. Our children, it's not too small to pray about their future. My children, they are small. I'm praying about their future right now, who they are going to marry. They are going to marry right. They are going to serve the Lord. They are going to love the Lord. I pray for them every day. Let's pray for our children. The single most important thing you can do for your children is to pray for them. You are calling God to come and do his part while you are doing your part. Hallelujah. And there's a beautiful story. When you get home, I want you to read it. In Matthew 20, 20 to 28, you know, the mother of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, you all know that story. The sons of Zebedee, you know, their mother came to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, I want to ask something. When you get to heaven, can you grant that one of my sons sit at your right hand and the other sit at your left? What a selfish request. But to me, it's an amazing request. It's a bold request, you know. Jesus didn't shoo her away. What did Jesus say? He said, it's not up to me to do it. You know, it's not up to me. When we get to eternity, we will know whether James or John are sitting at the right hand of Jesus. But I took something out from that scripture, and that is, she made time. How many mothers of the disciples were mentioned in the Bible that came to Jesus? None, except her. She made time for prayer. She made time to go and ask. Okay? And number two, she asks boldly. She asks daringly, because she knows that Jesus is the all-powerful. The Bible says he can do all things. You know, with him, nothing shall be impossible. Let's ask big for our children. Let's ask big. Let's ask big. Let's ask that they know the Lord. Let's ask that they have a place in the kingdom. Let's ask that they be a credit to the kingdom, that they will build godly character. Let's ask that they will be used to promote the kingdom of God, that they will serve all their lives in the house of God, that they will not depart from the faith. Let us ask. Let's ask. Let's come to God in prayer. So as you feed them, pray with them. As they come to you for one need or the other, lead them in prayer, you know, and let them teach them to pray as well. Hallelujah. But most importantly, pray for them. During the day they come to your heart, just say a word of prayer. Like Pastor Joe said last week, we don't have to have a special prayer time, you know. Whenever the heart comes to you to say a word of prayer for someone, find something somewhere quiet and pray. Pray for your children. Pray for your children this morning. And as I round up, I want us to read Isaiah 66 verse 13, and we stand up to pray. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66. As we were worshiping there this morning, you know, that word just dropped to my heart. You know, 66 verse 13. It says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Okay? This word is showing that the motherhood nature of God. He says, I will comfort you like a mother. Okay? God is there for us, mothers. I just want us to encourage us this morning to go to him for help. We cannot do this by ourselves. Without him, we can do nothing. But he's promised us this morning that he's a mother. He's a mother to us. Even if we haven't had a good example of mothers, You know, God is a mother to us. He will comfort us when our children are doing things that we think they're not supposed to do. When we feel, you know, the workload is too much for us. Let's rely on God as our comfort this morning. Let's stand up to pray. I want us to start praying this morning. But I want us to start praying this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. I want you to commit yourself to God as a mother. We know it's Mother's Day, so this is our day. This is our day. Let's ask God for help to be the best mother you can be to your children. Without Him, like I said in John 15:5, without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. We can do all the physical works. But the spiritual, most important things that we need to do for our children, we need help. We need more help from God. Let's ask God for help this morning. Lord, I just pray for myself this morning. I receive your help, oh God. Help, oh God, to be a mother to my children. Consecrate yourself to God this morning. Commit yourself to a fresh relationship with God. Commit yourself to God to help you to communicate God's truth to your children. Commit yourself to parenting with faith and not fear, to have courage. Lord, I just pray and release myself to you this morning. I pray for your help. I pray for your anointing. I pray for your grace, oh God, to consecrate myself to you, oh God, to have courage, to commit totally my children in your hand, to develop myself in the spirit, and to be able to teach my children in the name of Jesus. That whatever I know along the way, I know I don't know it all, but whatever I know along the way, I want to be able to teach my children as I know it. As you shed the light of your word in our hearts, Lord, help us to teach our children in the name of Jesus.